The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2022, Living Liberation, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, you can visit libraplanet.org/conference.
I'm Stephen, the room monitor for this talk, titled The State of Software Patents in 2022, and will be presented by Panos Elevropoulos. Panos is, among other things, volunteer member of the FSF Licensing and Compliance Lab and Software Patents Wiki Admin, certified by Creative Commons. Panos, welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Stephen, for the introduction. I am Panos Alvropoulos. I studied law at the University of Aristotle at Greece. I am a former intern at the Free Software Foundation, and I work primarily on the End Software Patents campaign, to which I contribute as a volunteer today. So my topic for today is the state of software patents in 2022. It's basically an overview of software patents, some historical elements, and we will basically explain why software patents are basically a bad thing. I mean, you can tell by the title of the campaign, and to be more specific, here are the contents of the presentation. First of all, an introduction to software patents. I will explain why software patents are a threat. I will explain the situation in the United States and Europe, briefly, of course. And finally, I will present some options against software patents, some of them that don't really work in the long term. That's why I call them here non-solutions. And finally, how to really end software patents. So to explain everything clearly, let's just start from the basics. Again, this is going to be a legal presentation, but please bear with me. I will try to explain everything in simple terms. And the goal is to just make everything clear and make people discuss software patents, because they are really important and they're just sort of neglected compared to copyright. So first off, what is a patent? A patent is a legal tool that gives its owner the legal right to exclude others from making, using, or selling an invention for a limited period of time in exchange for publishing and enabling disclosure of the invention. Now here, when I say for a limited period of time, we're talking about at least 20 years. And for software, that's a lot. And when it says here in the definition that it is in exchange for publishing and an enabling disclosure of the invention, it just means that I have to file a patent application. Then the patent office will accept my application and it will grant patent. And the public will have a document that is available and explains all the technical details and how my invention works. So the general requirement is that inventions should be new, they should involve an inventive step, and they should be capable of industrial application. Now, this is like these are like some general criteria that should apply to patents, and this should be this is just some general criteria that are applied throughout the world. There are just some slight differences. So to understand patents, it's also important to understand copyright to understand the difference between them. So a copyright is an author's exclusive right to copy and distribute a creative work, usually for a limited time. The creative work may be in a literary, artistic, educational, or musical form, including software. It applies to the original expression of an idea in the form of a creative work, but not the idea itself. So the free software licenses are basically copyright licenses. They restrict the copyright terms and make everything more more publicly available. But they don't really work when it comes to patents, so it's very important to distinguish the two. So what is a software patent? Well, basically, like the name suggests, it's just a patent for software, but it's really not that simple because it's not that evident that inventions should include software too. That's what we're going to discuss today. And just to show you an overview here, we have copyright and patents, and the main difference is that patents establish a market monopoly, and they are like 20 years long, but they are so restrictive that these 20 years are very, very restrictive, especially when it comes to software. So, for example, imagine a software patent that was granted in 2002, and that existed for 20 years, so it only expired in 2022. So that's a long time for software, and it's really restrictive. So let us be a bit more clear here. Why are software patents a threat? Why do they present a danger for programmers and perhaps to society itself? I have some arguments here that I will present to you one by one. First of all, software patents are blocking innovation because patents can be very scary. Basically, when I'm writing a program, I certainly don't have any patents in mind, and I can't imagine that in the future I might be sued for something that I wrote myself. That's usually what I have in mind if I'm copying stuff from somewhere else. But here's what happens with patents. I can be sued even if everything was my idea, because simply someone else in the world had the same idea and they patented that idea. And the funny thing is that most likely I have no idea that such patent could exist for two reasons. One, because patents are simply not easily found. I would have to search patents all over the world just to find something that that is close to my idea. And the second reason is that some patents are very, very obvious, and that's a real problem because probably they shouldn't have been patented in the first place. So another problem is that software patents are really expensive as a concept, basically all patents, but the problem with software is that most people, when they write programs, they do it at home. It's very cheap to write a program, and really you can't expect from someone who just writes programs for fun to actually have the resources to do face legal battles. So let's just give an example. I am a programmer and I'm trying to create a business out of my program. And out of nowhere, Microsoft, for example, will just sue me just because I infringed a patent of theirs. And the problem here is that I don't have the resources to face all the legal costs. So it's really unfair to anyone who can't afford these legal battles. Now, the next thing here is that software patents are just harming freedom of expression, because when I have this danger in my mind that I'm going to infringe someone's patent and that can come out of nowhere, and that has happened a lot, and it really doesn't matter if I am a free software developer or a developer who writes proprietary software, basically my freedom of expression is restricted, because I just cannot be sure about whether I will be sued or not. Of course, and that's something that free software advocates have said for a long time, software progress doesn't even need patents, and economic studies have shown that software patents haven't the slowest, they really haven't contributed anything to patents, and progress happened without patents just fine. And this is just a legal reason, but it's actually very important when it comes to arguing patent eligible concepts, like anything that can be patented. So basically, in almost all countries, mathematics cannot be patented because they are considered a concept of nature. But software is actually math, if you think about it, because it's just algorithms. It's a series of zeros and ones that control the current. It's all about functions, etc. So it all comes down to software is just math and it shouldn't be patented. Now, of course, and that's a very important argument, software should be free, because that's the core philosophy of everyone who is in the free software community. And of course, that doesn't concern proprietary software, but it's still very important to free software programmers. So with that out of the way, we can just see here why software patents should be abolished. And the difference of the End Software Patents campaign compared to other campaigns related to software patents is that the Free Software Foundation really believes that the only solution is a legislative ban of software patents. There's really no other solutions that are effective enough, and I will be discussing this towards the end of my presentation. Now, just to give an overview of what's going on in the world, I have chosen to present some details about the United States and Europe. Of course, there are other very important jurisdictions like China, Japan, India, and basically every other country that accepts patents. But here's the thing: the United States patent system is actually very influential in the world, and the European patent system is also very influential. So sometimes other countries may borrow some concepts that derive from these two legal geographical areas. So to understand what's going on with software patents in the United States, it's important to understand that software patents simply are not regulated in some sort of legislation in the United States. So we simply rely on case law and primarily on court decisions by the United States Supreme Court, Now here I have a table. I present like three very important decisions that are related to software patents. The most recent one is the ALICE decision, which had some great impact, and it basically presented a narrower interpretation for software patents, but it's simply not enough. I mean, sure, ever since ALICE, there was some great progress and many software patents were actually invalidated, but the case stands that many software patents are still granted in the United States. And to just give an example, in yesterday's talk, Jarek Duda had a very interesting talk where he said that although he's an author of an algorithm, a compression algorithm that was created years ago, today other people who are not related to the progress of that algorithm simply tried to patent it. And now, just a month ago, Microsoft was granted a patent on that exact algorithm. It's important to understand that although there are no specific regulations in the United States that concern software patents, the most recent ruling by ALICE can be overruled by legislation. It's always possible, and it can really go both ways. It can either validate that software patents shouldn't be patented, and that's our goal, that's something that we want, but it can also be affected by lobbying organizations who really want software patents to succeed, and they want them to be clearly patentable. Now let's go over to Europe just to understand what's going on with software patents in Europe. Basically, we have the European Patent Convention. It has a very specific article on software patents, and that's Article 52. Here you can see that programs for computers cannot be regarded as inventions, and that actually sounds very good. But the thing is that there's another detail here in paragraph 3 that says that programs cannot be patented as sets. Now, what this means is that programs should have a different, should have a further technical effect, and that's up to the interpretation by the European Patent Office. The thing is that this is very vague. It's just not clear what this means. And if the Patent Office is very open to accepting such patents, it will just accept these patents, and this provision that programs for computers cannot be patented, well, this article is just thrown out of the window, because at the end of the day, software patents are still granted. So with that in mind, let's just head over to what's going on lately, because there's a very interesting development in Europe that has been, there has been a proposal about, I think it was in 2013, and there was a proposal for a unified patent court and a unitary patent. The way the law works right now is that everything is a bit fragmented, just to say. If I want to file a patent application, I can file it to the European Patent Office, but then I don't have a single patent, because a patent is actually a national instrument. So what actually happens right now with the European patent is that my patent is actually a group of national patents. So I file an application to the European Patent Office, and if I am granted a patent, then I have a patent in Germany, in Greece, in Italy, and almost in all countries of Europe. And that basically means that I have many patents for the same technical concept. The legal implication of that is that if one has to, if one believes that there's infringement of patent here, then I would have to face legal battles in different countries. So that's very expensive. And the worst thing is that some countries may actually make decisions that are totally different. So one court in Germany might say that, okay, yes, there's copyright, not copyright, there's patent infringement. But on the other hand, another court in, let's say, Poland will just say, no, there's no patent infringement. Now, all of that is going to change right now, thanks to the Unified Patent Court and the Unitary Patent. And the main difference here is that there's going to be a unitary patent. So if I file a single application, then I will have one patent that will be valid in all countries at once. And these infringement cases will be handled by one unified patent court. This is all... these are two separate agreements, intergovernmental agreements, that were signed about 10 years ago. And now, after years of discussion and some legal battles, they are going to be in effect. So why is that relevant to software patents? Well, it's extremely relevant because in Europe, what saved software patents, it didn't save software patents, it saved us from having a great impact with software patents, is that there was expensive litigation, so enforcement of software patents wasn't that easy. But now, with a very effective legal system, such as the Unified Patent Court, we're going to have some very easy and quick process for enforcing software patents. And the worst thing is that there's a very high probability that this court, which is actually independent of any European Union institution, is going to be very pro software patent. So it's important to remember that such initiatives are actually fueled by people who have a vested interest in having all patents succeed, and they want to see patents dominate the field, and software patents is one aspect of them. So these judges are most likely going to be very biased towards accepting software patents. So what are we going to do with all of this trouble that has been caused by software patents? Because it's something that has been discussed for so many years by the free software community, but we really don't have some very effective solution. So here I will discuss some attempts that have been made against software patents, and I call them non-solutions, and I will explain why. The first of all is that invalidating harmful patents is, of course, a very beneficial thing, and of course when we have software patents, we want to see them invalidated. So just to give an example, last year there was a presentation by the GNOME Foundation that presented their experience with some patent vulture. There's a very specific practice that is going on in the software sector. More specifically, it is called patent trolling, and it involves people basically filing patent applications for everything that they can put their hands on. And basically what happened is that although the GNOME Foundation had developed a program, someone just sued them for infringing some patent that appeared out of nowhere. So the GNOME Foundation was faced with a patent that really didn't make sense at all, because the patent was very broad and it shouldn't have been accepted in the first place. So it was really a very harmful patent, and it was very important that it had to be invalidated. Now, there was a very positive outcome out of that case, and there was a settlement. But the problem here is that we are just trying to catch all of these patents, and it's a cat and mouse game. And we have a severe disadvantage here because the free software community simply doesn't have the resources to face all these legal battles. I mean, the Sotwell case, that was the name of the patent in the previous case, in the case of the GNOME Foundation, that case was handled by pro bono lawyers. And here's the thing, we can't always rely on pro bono lawyers. I mean, if you think about it, all the wealthiest companies in the world right now have all the resources to sue each other. They can play this game of acquiring every patent that they can, and they can simply play this game forever. But this is just not something that we can survive as free software developers. So really, if we try to invalidate every single harmful patent, that's not going to be a very, it's just not going to be possible, actually. It's impossible. There are always going to be thousands of other software patents that we have no idea of, and we would have spent so many resources on just one patent, for example. This is for the same reason defensive patent pools, or just acquiring a patent and then granting full rights for that patent, that also doesn't work. I mean, I presented this question to yesterday's talk, to Jarek Duda, and he simply replied that, yeah, of course, I could have filed a patent application myself, but first of all, it's very expensive, and I don't have the resources to do that. And second of all, I simply cannot know if there are other variations that can be patented. And that's actually the case that is very likely. If I patent an invention, someone else will simply just patent a variation of what I just patented. So it all sounds very silly, because in patent law, for an invention to be granted to be granted patent rights, it has to be satisfy the criterion of having no prior art. No prior art means basically that no other invention should have existed, and it doesn't matter if it was patented or not. So yeah, defensive patent pools, they exist, but they really cannot work. And in case I didn't, it's not very clear what a patent pool is. It's basically people who make an alliance and then say that these patents are not going to be a threat to anyone. And then we have case law against software patents. That's also not going to be an easy solution, because that's something that has worked for a bit in the United States. The Alice decision, like I explained earlier, has had some effect, but it doesn't have maximum effect. Some software patents are still granted, and it doesn't matter if there are many or there are few, the threat persists, and we really need a law that actually bans software patents, so we can't rely on court decisions alone. And of course, there's the argument of just raising examination standards, because someone might just say that, okay, that all sounds that patent law doesn't work very well, so let's just make it better. Let's just make patent offices work harder, have maybe a much better database, so judges can know and make no mistake if there are previous inventions. So the end result that would be that we would have some very good and quality patents. That sounds good, but here's the thing. We don't believe that good patents are good either, because they can still people with such rights can still sue us. And the Free Software Foundation simply believes that this is not just. It's really not. It's just not beneficial for user freedom. And finally, I have here a proposal that actually is in effect for many years. There are patent clauses in free software licenses. And what a patent clause does is basically to, it just says in the license that developing, distributing, or running a program on computing hardware simply should not constitute patent infringement. In other words, a patent clause requires distributors to give recipients of the software a license to use any necessary patents. And the general effect of such patent clause is that it revokes any patent rights received through a software license. So I have explained some non-solutions. Of course, let's be clear here, they are non-solutions, but it's very good that they exist. if there wasn't any kind of pro bono protection against patent vultures and patent trolls, the situations would have been so much worse. So yes, we want to end software patents, and we have a long-term goal, but we will never say that they are bad things. The non-solutions are bad things. It should be good that they exist, but it should always be in our minds that we should have ways to end software patents. So here, I have some ways to actually accomplish that. First of all, we can accomplish a legislative ban on software patents. That would have to be done individually in every single country. That's hard. Of course, that sounds hard, but that's something that we should work. We should work towards that. And there's another proposal, and that's by Richard Stallman. And that's to shield software from litigation. So what that means is that we would basically accept software patterns to exist, but we would effectively make them not have any real effect. So there would be a law that would accept software patterns, but it would say that developing, distributing, or running a program on any computing hardware would not in any case constitute patent infringement. And that would be a real solution, and many cases would be completely vanish if such provision existed. And finally, because it's very likely that someone will actually just say that, it's very probable that people may just suggest that we should ban all patents. So that's actually a very, it makes sense. It sounds like the patent system in general doesn't work well. There are a lot of problems. But here's the thing. The Free Software Foundation and the End Software Patents campaign really doesn't have any... we just can't talk about that because the Free Software Foundation can only speak about software. Of course, ending all patents would be beneficial for software because that would be good. There would be no software patents altogether. So if there was any other organization that would push for anything that would be beneficial for not so that we would not have any software patents, I think the Free Software Foundation would happily accept them as an ally. So ways to achieve our goal. We have presented our end goal, and that's to end software patents. So let's just discuss the steps to do that. In some sort of progress. So first of all, we need to be active. We need to spread the word. We need to write articles and make our voice heard because it's a very neglected topic. We need to educate people to understand what software patents are and why they pose a threat. So we would need to use tools such as the End Software Patents Wiki. That's actually a tool that has been that has been presented by the End Software Patents and has been used for several years. And what we would really want to see is to have people contribute to it and really make an international database on software patents. So it's really a website that comprises, it includes all the information that is needed for someone to start a campaign against software patents. Of course, it's very important to donate to organizations that fight against software patents. That's the Free Software Foundation, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Software Freedom Conservancy, and the Software Freedom Law Center. And in general, like I said, it's very important to be active. So we have to fuel local efforts and influence policies. So just please don't be afraid to talk about this to local politicians, to talk about this to your friends and create efforts in your respective country. And just to conclude my talk, it's very important. This is an open call because we really need any help that that can be provided. Please contribute to the ESP Wiki. It's a website that can really help, like I said previously. And here is a screenshot that I have here. That's an overview of the front page of the End Software Patents Wiki. And we invite people to contribute to it. And hopefully it will be a helpful tool that will someday lead to creating a very clear proposal and have legislation that will effectively ban software patents. So that was it. I hope you enjoyed my talk. I hope I didn't speak too much legalese. I know it's a very hard topic to grasp and understand. I tried to include as much information as I could, and I tried to present all issues in simple terms. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Panos. There was a question that came up in the chat. It was looking for a little more information on why software license revoking, having that in the software license, isn't a solution or is a non-solution.
Well, the thing is that patent clauses in free software licenses have a limited effect. So they basically concern everyone that is a recipient of the license and has patent rights, and the patent clauses will just guarantee that these patent rights will not be exercised at all. So basically, it's a non-solution because it simply doesn't involve banning software patents. So it's really it's good to have them, and of course the general public license has it, but it's not enough. It's simply not enough. We need to have laws that will actually abolish software patents.
And we have a little under 5 minutes. One comment was that didn't think there was too much legalese, so thank you for that. It was easy to follow.
Cool.
And here's another question. Outside of software, are software patents as enabling disclosures basically source code for material inventions?
So outside of software, I'm not sure what that means, but we're talking about software patents, so of course it's about software. But when we say enabling disclosure, we're actually not talking about source code. If you simply take a look at some patents, they explain in detail the technical processes and the methods that are used to have the end result and have the invention, basically. But the thing is that it's very broad, and this explanation that is included in that document can be used against so many programs, and this is a real threat.
In what area is help needed in the wiki? Proposing legislation or?
Actually, we need everything. We please just browse the wiki. We have multiple links. We have some links for communicating. So we are still organizing. We need teams that will document everything, so that we can have a comprehensive database. And there's really a matter of updating content on the wiki, but also documenting some software patents to understand the issue better.
Okay, thank you. And got a follow-up question on, does the free software license patent clause make the software user immune from patent litigation?
Does it make it immune? I will be honest, I haven't actually encountered some real life examples, so I would need to research that further. But I'm pretty sure that immunity is not a real thing. So the thing is that it's basically it basically protects people from patent rights that can be exercised by the recipient of the license. Now, this is actually that I cannot give a clear answer. I would have to actually research this. But like I said, the wiki is there for exactly that reason, to answer such questions.
And just in our little tiny bit of time left, here's a good one. Can we make a patent on making software patents, then enforce it to kill all other software patents?
That would be great, actually. And that would be very easy. And that would be the ideal world. Yeah. I see you.
So I think we're all out of time. If you have access to the chat, I may have missed a couple of things that you would want to follow up on. But thank you again for a very comprehensive look at this, and appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much. Do I have some time? There's just one question that came up now.
I believe we're out of time.
You are now unmuted.
I think it's okay, go ahead.
Okay, there's a question here that says, does the Court of Justice in the European Union have a say about software patents? I think the question is related to the new scheme with the Unified Patent Court, and I think the answer is no. I think there is actually not a direct involvement of the European Court of Justice. And what will actually happen is that the Unified Patent Court can actually present questions to the Court of Justice. So there's some involvement, but I don't think it can overrule the Unified Patent Court, the court's decisions. We will have to see how that will be in practice.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.